Welcome to the 147th edition of Make Pro Wrestling Majestic Again. I am Tiger Height.
And I'm Peter Gallery.
So let's get right into it because we kind of have a different show here with all of this news and everything going on.
Yep.
But let's get into some drama. And I want to talk about this because I think it was stupid and unnecessary. When Becky Lynch won the Battle Royal, mm-hmm. people were losing their minds regarding this decision, mm-hmm. saying that, oh, she's playing her Hulk Hogan card, you know, blah, blah, blah. A, that didn't happen, 100%.
Right.
And B, I don't think you realize how much of a total shift in plans WWE had to do because of the Rhea Ripley injury.
Right.
They were going to continue the rivalry with Rhea and Liv.
Yep.
And then Liv would have most likely taken the title off.
Right.
Could they have put the title on Liv Morgan in the first place?
They need to build her up.
Yeah, they need to build Liv up. She has never been in a position like this.
Right.
So shove it. Well, she was SmackDown Women's Champion.
Well, yeah.
But that was, once again, something that people did not like.
Right.
So putting this still fairly new title on an established star like Becky Lynch was the right call.
Yes.
They could have done 1,000 things. They could have put this title on Indy Hartwell, for God's sake, but it would have made sense.
Right.
They put it on Becky because Becky is that reliable worker
yep.
who's very rare on getting hurt,
yep.
and they had to have a cross-promotional star with the title, especially right now because her book has been on New York Times bestselling for like the last month and a half.
Right.
People are reading this book. She's been appearing on television. Why wouldn't you put the title, especially a new title, on somebody like that?
Right.
Don't worry. Liv is getting the belt. They have set that up.
Yes.
Relax. And now with Nia being on SmackDown, we don't have to have that. So
Right. We
all need to calm down regarding this. It was ridiculous seeing the reaction of Becky.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. We will get into this a little bit more, but I'm only focused on the follow-up to, quote-unquote, the greatest match in North American history.
Right.
So, A, that's a lie. It was a great match, but that is a lie.
Well, according to Daddy Dave, it was the second highest rated match of all time.
No kidding. Roderick Strong and Will Ospreay. Now, this is a double-edged sword for me. Titles are given prestige with matches.
Yes.
And the tenure of the person holding it.
Yes.
Now, this is definitely a high-profile match, and I think this actually bumps up the value of the international championship.
Right.
But you don't follow up Ospreay and Bryan Danielson with him going after the 8 out of the 12 secondary champions AEW has.
Right.
I'm sorry. Who is going to go for the world champion now? Who has the legs to stand on? Bryan Danielson lost. If
Right.
you were going to do anything with this, you should have done Roderick Strong and Bryan Danielson.
Right.
Now, based on some sort of injury that I'm possibly not aware of, I don't know maybe if this was a change that they had to do.
Right. I don't know.
Now, this is still going to be a really good match. And like I said, it bumps up the prestige of the title.
You're right.
But it's just so hard for me because Ospreay has all of this momentum. But it would have added Swerve's momentum and his perceived value as world champion if he could stop the Ospreay wave.
But he doesn't want to stop the Ospreay wave right now.
That's the problem. And now you're going to have this undefeated guy with the international champion instead of what he should have is the world champion. Once
Right.
again, rock in a hard place.
Yeah.
So I had to complain about that. And it's like, well, you know, is the international champion now the more prestigious champion out of the TNT, the Continental? Is this the most prestigious belt? It feels like it is.
Right.
Which is fine.
Right.
I don't mind it. And then the final one, CM Punk. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But he has been on a gigantic wave of a redemption tour,
mm-hmm.
per se. He has made a lot of enemies in his past. And Sami Zayn came out and said that he and CM Punk buried the hatchet.
Right.
Water under the bridge. They're professionals and they're going to work together. But this isn't the only person that CM Punk has done this with.
No.
He's done this with Triple H. He's done this with Kevin Owens. He's done this with Seth Rollins. And they've all come out and said, we talked.
Right.
We came to an understanding and we're going to move forward.
Right.
But this is the drastic difference of professional adults understanding that we need to cooperate. And in a sport like professional wrestling, where you are legitimately giving your opponent, your body, in a choreographed, simulated fight, trust is invaluable.
Right.
And CM Punk being the man he is, and trying to do this and really going forward with his life and saying, we're not going to have any bad blood. I want redemption. I want to prove myself and I want to start fresh and clean is awesome. It makes the locker room more trusted.
Yes.
It makes them more accountable.
Yes.
And I think there is a drastic difference on this perception between multiple locker rooms. TNA doesn't have to worry about this. They don't have this problem.
Right.
Where are all the fights coming out of? Other than maybe Lacey Evans, who apparently fought like a bunch of people.
Right.
And then Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch had a scuffle. And I'm sure that they would work together again.
Yeah.
But it's all coming out of AEW.
Right.
Everything,
now it is.
Everything is.
In 2024, it's all coming out of AEW.
So What is that saying about locker room culture, about toxicity? There's such a drastic difference. So these are what I wanted to point out. I did have one. I did have another one, but we're actually going to be covering it in a much more in-depth sort of way, and that is with Tony Khan.
Yeah.
So
a lot has been happening with Tony Khan this
week. Yes. So we'll get to it when we get to it, but I wanted to at least bring up that was one of the other ones that I had.
Right.
So that's it for drama with me. A lot of good things, a lot of unnecessary controversy, and, you know, like I said, sometimes drama isn't necessarily all negative.
Yeah.
It can be positive.
Right.
So that's all well and good for everybody there. Everybody's getting along, hug, kiss, jerk off, all that great stuff. So when we come back, Peanut Gallery.
We gotta talk about some stuff.
There is a lot of news.
There is.
So without further ado, let's get into it. All right, we are back, Peanut Gallery. Other than the big news, which we'll talk about separately, let's get into this.
Yeah, so Goldberg said that he's never gonna work with AEW, which is pretty much confirmed at this point that he did talk to Tony, but he has no interest. He specifically called AEW cheesy.
Yeah, he called it too cheesy. That's hilarious. Well, okay, I'm sorry. Goldberg is, I mean, the dude is a certified.
The guy was in the cheesiest eras of the cheesiest promotions, and he calls AEW cheesy.
But he was never booked as being somebody that was cheesy, other than maybe 2002, 2005 WWE. But he was the badass killer.
Right.
He was former NFL. He was built like a badass. He was Goldberg.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty funny. I wasn't sure if we were going to cover that during our thing, but it was like one little blurb.
All right. So Broken Matt Hardy and others did arrive indeed at TNA's pay-per-view. So Matt Hardy is not under contract. We did see that Mike Santana and
Steve Maclin re-signed.
But Broken Matt, I think, is only working on an appearance-by-appearance basis. So out of the people that returned, obviously,
Sami Callihan also signed with the company.
Yeah, he re-signed with the company. But Matt Hardy is just working this. I think he's just working this angle with Nick Nemeth.
Yep.
And Ryan Nemeth.
Yep. But we also have to bring up Steph DeLander and Matt Cardona, who are also as free agents.
They are not signed with the company either. Stardom is now a full subsidiary of
New Japan
Pro Wrestling.
Oh.
And we kind of saw this coming. I think that this may become an instance where Stardom essentially becomes a women's division. It really just depends on how many people leave Stardom.
For Marigold.
Right, for Marigold. Because there is indication that quite a few people are going to be leaving Stardom.
Yeah, I'm not surprised in the slightest. This has really divided Stardom. I mean, they're definitely hurt. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Really, Rossi does have loyalty to the women's division now.
And that's really what Japan has always been built on. Kind of like in Mexico, it's always been built around the person, not necessarily the company.
Right, exactly. I mean, really, this whole firing and separation thing has been such a net negative for Stardom in pretty much every capacity.
Oh, absolutely. And then we got... so this essentially is a merger of both trios titles.
Okay. Which one are they going to be keeping? Because they literally just, I'm not kidding right. you, not even a month ago, they had a total redesign of the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Championship.
Yeah, I know.
A total redesign.
And it's stupid. But technically, it was a title unification.
Was it a title unification or a winner-take-all? There's a big difference between those two.
I think the way it was worded, it was a unification match.
Okay.
So now it's the unified trios titles is, from what I hear, that is what is going by.
Okay. Maybe they're trying to figure out if they want to actually be dedicated to the unification. That's why there are still two different champions.
Yeah, kind of like what WWE did with
the Undisputed Tag Team Champions.
So maybe they're going down that route.
Yep.
Willow Nightingale, she's not ready for this belt, man. I don't know why.
Because of what happened at that one place where Mercedes got hurt. They're just trying to run it back because they think it's a big draw.
I don't understand why you're not putting Mercedes into matches. I mean, she's not as big of a deal as people make her out to be.
And the numbers are proving it. I'm sorry. You just can't have her continuously talk every show. She is not drawing.
You're literally hurting her stock by
worst asset. And we said this last week. Every time you have her go out there and cut a promo and do her dance, it is becoming more and more cringy. It's becoming more and more apparent that she is not as good as she says she is. And it's perception. Perception is reality in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So having her do the worst thing that she could do, which is this. Like, here, the best way that you could have done that is have her be on the show and then literally don't put her on. If you're not going to have her wrestle every week, or at least somewhat,
right?
Don't put her on the show at all.
Right.
Because you are overexposing.
Yes, you are overexposing.
Her worst asset.
Yeah, and then by the time she actually does have her match, how many people are honestly going to be like, there's no anticipation. There's no buildup to this.
Right.
It's just her talking week in and week out and that and the other thing.
They did it so good when they brought in Saraya.
Yeah,
They did it so good because they did the exact same thing. They established a rivalry with her and Baker.
Yep.
They were out there somewhat, and they continued the interest.
Right.
They weren't out there all the time.
Right.
So this is, they just literally tripped on what made Saraya so successful.
Yeah.
And it face planted.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just been embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. It has been very embarrassing. So we're going to go back to this one because it was given 6.5 stars by Dave Meltzer. And like you said, it was a good match. It was actually a pretty excellent match. It was one of the best matches of the entire night. But 6.5 stars.
This is not. He literally, I am not kidding you, thought that this match was better than Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker at both WrestleManias. And those matches were awesome.
Well, yeah, they had a great.
They were better than this match.
Right.
And I liked this match. I mean, this is definitely match of the year candidate. It's
right.
there.
Right.
Trust me. Now, when they say dream match, this was a dream match.
Yes, it was. This is the only time they have never fought each other before. So it was a literal dream match. And they saved it for a pay-per-view, which is exactly what dream matches are for.
Right.
That's what pay-per-views are for. They're for dream matches.
Right. So this was fine, but giving it that kind of praise and that kind of stuff is not going to help anything.
Yeah, it's very clear to me that Dave Meltzer is being paid by this company.
Exactly. God, I mean, well, Shahid is paying Dave Meltzer.
Oh, yeah, let's
put it
that
way.
Oh
my God, this was such a bad choice. We'll I'm going to really lay into this, but Hook is leaving this company.
Absolutely. Chris Jericho, not only did he win this title and he's fatter than ever, but now he's forming another stable.
The Inner Circle was the best out of the ones. And I didn't even like the Jericho Appreciation Society.
It The amount of stables that this guy produces is ludicrous at this point.
It's getting almost comical.
It is. This is I swear to God, this is a comedy skit.
I hate
Chris Jericho forming another faction. This is like, who's booking him? Is Vince Russo specifically booking him?
I mean, here's what I think. I think Jericho is intentionally doing this not to bring up anybody. Now, maybe
but to make himself the center of attention all the time.
Not only that, but to mask him.
Oh.
So they can put a bunch of people around him that are younger and better wrestlers than Chris Jericho, so he looks like he's a badass. Now, this one at least might feel different. If he becomes like a pseudo cult leader with the Learning Tree, mm-hmm. it could work.
But we've already seen the Learning Tree gimmick with Brian Myers. Remember in TNA when he
that was very slow, and yeah. also Brian Myers does not have the pedigree as Chris Jericho.
That's true.
Chris Jericho is a WrestleMania main eventer, multi-time world champion,
but it's still an act that we have seen before, and quite frankly,
you know what,
something needs to change with this one.
I am going to be optimistic about this one. If they do this right, it could be really good.
Would you think AEW is going to do this thing right? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Moving on. This was a good choice.
Yes, this was the only logical choice.
But I did not like the fact that he was not given the opportunity to speak at the Dynamite right afterwards.
Yes, they didn't. They threw him in a match with a guy who hasn't won a singles match in AEW since he signed with the company.
Right. And he gave a very generic promo on Collision.
Yeah, I heard it was not good at all.
Yeah, it was very generic, your typical face, whatever. I mean, I don't know.
I am very saddened. I mean, this is the first black world champion that the company has ever had.
Yep.
It was the right choice. And yep. So far, they are not following up
very well with this one. They gave two lesser titles a lot of time. So Kenny Omega is going to make a return, probably not to the ring, but he's coming back in a couple of weeks.
Apparently, he didn't even know that he was returning until the arena promoted it.
Did not hear about that one.
He didn't even... The company...
did no one consult with him first?
No, apparently they're just like, oh, he's returning. We got to pop the rating.
Well, they're in Winnipeg. We got to pop the rating for someone.
They're trying to fill in the seats, and I'm just not sure if Kenny Omega is going to be the guy to do it. He's not returning to wrestle.
He's not wrestling right now. No, he's got to have some surgery, man.
Yeah,
he's going to be out for a while.
Intestine surgery. Yeah. You think he's going to be coming back anytime soon?
Right, seriously.
God.
So let's talk about...
I love this.
So... Let's talk about this...
Double X story.
This faction. Let's talk about... Because I specifically want to talk about this evolution of this faction with the Young Bucks and... Okada.
Young Bucks, Okada, now with Jack Perry.
It actually adds a little bit of credibility, I think, to this.
I like it. Just like a fresh bloodline.
Yes.
We are getting a fresh elite. If the Young Bucks have this drastic character change,
mm-hmm.
Okada as a drastic character change with Jack Perry as a drastic character change,
right.
It's good. Now, the part that I did not like is Tony Khan being a on-screen personality.
Not only Tony, but Shahid was also an on-screen character
now,
for a little
we should
bit.
We should probably break this more down in a few segments.
Yeah, I did want to acknowledge
that... I have to give the flowers to it.
Yeah, I did want to acknowledge that this version of the Elite is a lot better.
Yes. Now, now follow up with some more brutality. Now you have some titles on people. Now we got to give Jack Perry a title.
Yes.
I think TNT would be a great title.
Oh, absolutely. We'll talk more about this, but the neck brace appeared on NFL Network.
Oh my God.
During the draft.
He got absolutely incinerated too.
And Shahid just looks...
That's the smile that a father gives when he's about to take off the belt and smack the shit out of his brat.
Right. But apparently he is going to be donating his neck brace to charity.
Yeah, no, I did hear that. So, I mean, I guess that's cool.
I think he's going to sign it, though. So Dominic Mysterio is out with an injury.
Now, I do not know the extent of the injury, but apparently he does not have to have surgery.
No, he does not have to have surgery. But, yes, he is. He has an injury.
I think it's an elbow injury.
It is, I think. So, yeah, that's probably why
That's why the sling is there.
Yes. poor Cameron Grimes. But he was one of a couple of other releases that happened in the WWE. Von Wagner, second generation wrestler, he never really just got off the ground, though.
Well, they started to do good with the announcer's table spot that he was going on, but it was just a little too late.
Yeah.
They pushed him too hard too soon with NXT 2.0.
Yep.
So people turned on him there. Then they started to come back with the table spot and showing his personality. But then they just didn't capitalize it on after that.
But let's talk about Cameron Grimes, though. He was told, like, last week that his job in the WWE was guaranteed.
Now, we do not know who it came from. Name drop anybody.
But it's just kind of unfortunate that he had to find out that way and find out after he was told that his job was fine.
Right.
Like, that's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah. Cameron Grimes is one of those people that I think will be 100% fine in the world. I mean,
He's 30 years old. He has all the talent in the world.
He already had a really good reputation. You can go back to TNA. Yep. He said he wants to work in Japan. I can see him go to Mexico. He's going to be fine. He has credibility. He knows how to do this safely and well. Does it suck? Was it his dream? Yeah. But I think his dad actually died after he was signed. So at the very least, his dad, who really pushed him to be a wrestler, got to see him wrestle on the biggest stage. Mm-hmm. So he will be fine.
Yeah.
The video was heartbreaking. You can tell that he was very sad that he was released from the company.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. He's 30.
Yeah.
He has the ability to come back.
Yes.
Drew McIntyre had the same thing. He left. He proved himself that he came back.
Yep.
Cameron, you can do the same thing.
Yep, exactly. So let's talk a little bit more about Vince McMahon. So a couple of things relating to the lawsuit happened. So Vince McMahon put in, like, it was something to stop the lawsuit or a portion of the lawsuit from going through. It's like a motion.
He filed an injunction.
Yes.
I do not know on what portion of the lawsuit was the injunction
targeted. But the lawyers... But Janelle Grant's lawyers clapped back and kind of said, okay, well, we're going to do a counter injunction to be like, you're not going to do this. So a lot of things are happening right now with regards to the trial. So obviously, you know, it kind of proves to me that Vince might know something, or maybe something is going to come out that Vince is not going to appreciate.
Now the injunction just stops the lawsuit. It basically says that you don't have enough evidence. Mm-hmm. And remember, the lawsuit, even with the injunctions, even if they don't go through, a jury has to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
A judge has to look at it and see if it'll even see a courtroom.
Right, because they're not even at the courtroom.
They're not even sniffing it. Like I said, it's probably going to be another year before we even get a major update regarding Mr. McMahon going to court, period.
Right. And then also, he did sell the remaining shares of his TKO stock, so he is now no longer involved in the WWE.
Now, I think you have a picture of him in here, Nick Khan.
Yes, Nick Khan also...
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
But Nick Khan also sold all of his shares.
Yes.
Or is selling all of his shares. Valhalla is having a second child, so congratulations.
Oh, that's why she's gone.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, she is Prego's.
Oh, I didn't know.
Okay.
Cool.
So obviously the draft is happening. A lot of non-things were happening.
People need to chill out about that. I made this on my TikTok, and I reposted it here. But people need to chill out. What do you think was going to happen? Do you think there was going to be a bunch of big sweeping changes? I was more curious about the NXT call-ups.
Yeah.
So,
And then there are more stars on Monday's episode that have the potential to switch. And then they also have until like May 4th to make the final changes. So these changes that you see right now, they're not set in stone.
Yeah, we're going to see these on social media. People are going to announce it online. Mm-hmm. This is just the public version of it. There's a lot of people in this draft. So,
and again, I think that a report came out that the reason there weren't a lot of them is because those were just, they're just kind of testing things out.
Right.
See exactly what this reaction would be. And then finally, we have a speed champion that has been crowned. It is a spoiler, and it is Ricochet.
Yes, it is Ricochet.
That episode will premiere on Wednesday on X.
Yes. So apparently, I'm not sure where I put it, but so Nick Khan, let's briefly touch upon this. So he sold all of his shares in WWE.
Yes.
What does that mean exactly? It could mean something or it can mean nothing. It does not, just because he is selling all of his shares does not necessarily mean he is leaving the company.
No, I don't think he's not, there's no indication that he is leaving the company.
Yeah.
I just think that he wanted to take advantage of higher prices, so.
This happens all the time.
Yeah.
So
and he'll probably end up rebuying some. He probably has stock options listed in his
contract.
Right.
He's just taking advantage of the prices because right now they're sky effing high and they're only going to get higher.
So that's all we've got. Yep. When we come back, we're going to talk about Dynasty, I think.
Yes, we are.
All right,
we are back and let's talk about Dynasty.
No, we're not covering the pre-show. This is just the main show.
Yes. We're going to do our positives and our negatives. So, positive number one, this match was awesome.
Yes.
This was a very good opener, and this perpetuates my analysis on championship prestige. Mm-hmm. It's not only who you put it on, it's how you treat it.
Mm-hmm.
When you, the less the title is challenged, mm-hmm. when there are people in an established brand gunning for the title because they want the championship, that adds prestige
to
the title.
I have noticed that there have been a lot less titles on the line during the shows because I think that Tony has learned his lesson.
Yes, but we need to stop with the title eliminators.
Yes.
Because Swerve Strickland and Kyle Fletcher had a world title eliminator. Where in the fuck does Kyle Fletcher get any sort of thing that he gets a world title shot?
Right.
That's not how this works. Roman Reigns wasn't facing random people in non-title matches in an eliminator.
Right.
They fought to become the number one contenders.
Right.
Pac issued the challenge to Okada. Not a big fan of it, but that's what happened here. But they had a good match. This is a solid start to Eddie Kingston and that abysmal way on how they did his shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
this night and day. Yeah, Eddie Kingston's just terrible.
He's really, I mean, people are sort of like,
people are over him, yeah.
And once again, prestige of the title. Mm-hmm. I do not like how we got here, but this was a very, very good match.
Well, gee, it's not like Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong have been, you know, in the ring together for God knows how many years.
I know. Point. But here's the thing. Roderick Strong, he's so underrated.
He is.
Such an underrated star. Same thing with Kyle O'Reilly. I'm just so glad that they're back and they can still compete at this level mm-hmm. where they pull off a banger of a match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this adds prestige to the title. Yep. And now we're establishing a new challenger for the international champion.
Right.
Now you have a solid month to build this match.
Right.
That helps the title's prestige, and they're doing well with it. Now the TNT champion's being neglected to shit, even though it's on a WWE Hall of Famer
right.
and WrestleMania main eventer and 11-time world champion.
Oh yeah, I forgot that it was on Adam Copeland.
It is on Adam Copeland.
I forgot.
So, and once again, look at the difference.
Yeah.
You know it's Roger Strong. You know it's Kazuchika Okada.
Right.
Who's Adam Copeland?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'll consult Edge. Wants work. There we go.
Again, we talked about this match ad nauseum. Great match. Not 6.5 stars. Maybe 5.5 stars.
Yep. Can we stop with this Storm Driver move that like double underhook lift and just drop right on the fucking head?
I think that Will Ospreay said afterwards that he is retiring that move.
Thank God. It is a terrifying move.
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
It's unbelievably dangerous. Yeah. Like, dude, you could have killed Bryan Danielson's career early.
Yeah.
Because, like, okay, he is hurt.
This
was awesome in every way.
Yes, Jack Perry coming back. And
how he did it?
Yep.
the crowd's reaction to it.
Yeah.
He got
booed out of the building.
Yeah. He has good presence.
Yeah.
The guy's getting a lot better, but he's a natural heel.
Yeah, he is.
So this is definitely something that I am 100% for.
Yeah.
Then them establishing that he is part of now the new elite just makes it even better.
Yes.
Once again, sometimes it's the follow-up that makes the show.
Yeah. This is obviously, again, we talked about this ad nauseum, a good decision.
Yep, he deserves this title.
Yes.
He worked hard for it.
Yep.
He became the number one contender. He had a good match with Samoa Joe.
Yep.
And now the follow-up was piss poor. But you know what? I was happy in this moment, so it gets a full thumbs up
right,
from me.
Absolutely.
Now, let's go into the negatives, because there were a few. There weren't as many, but there were a few. The random six-man tags. Oop, that's the wrong six-man tag. Well, kind of. So this match and the match with Copeland, Kingston, and Jay Briscoe's brother taking on House of Black, these are ridiculous.
Yes, they were spot fest rush, you know, whole 9 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
They were just terrible.
Oh God.
So apparently Julia Hart is hurt.
Oh, is that why?
This report just came out today.
Now, was she hurt because of the match?
I don't know, but apparently
I wouldn't be shocked.
She was hurt.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Which I think is part of the reason why Willow Nightingale got the title.
Well, also she needs to be the feeder for Mercedes Moné, because obviously you have to A, pair up the black chicks, and
yep.
B, you know, they had the rematch, so now we have to have Mercedes Moné beat Willow Nightingale, who beat Mercedes. So now then we'll have the rubber match at probably not Double or Nothing, but the pay-per-view after.
But All In.
Yeah, All In. Yeah.
Yeah, the London show.
That's right.
They're doing the stupid London show again.
The match itself was fine. It was nothing to write home.
Willow
to
Nightingale,
about.
She's not good. She's not bad. She's just there. Julia Hart is much better, you know, just...
You know, like character work wise, everything. I mean, really, this is so. I mean, if you're really going to talk about anybody who plays Hulk Hogan, Mercedes Moné is a classic example of this.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably all but hurt about Willow Nightingale injuring her, even though it was a complete fucking accident.
Yeah.
So they have Willow Nightingale win a title so Mercedes can humiliate her on a larger stage to feed her ego.
Yeah.
That's all this is. This is only an ego trip
for
Black Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, pretty much.
With a pussy. That's it.
Hulk Hogan with a pussy.
Ugh. Okay. Adam Cole gets out of the wheelchair. Cool. Great. Good wrestler. Needs to go to the gym. Why are we doing this with Wardlow?
I know. Wasn't Wardlow like...
Wardlow's been winning matches for the Undisputed Kingdom.
I mean, and shouldn't he be a contender for a world title at some point? Like,
maybe that's why...
He was pretty damn close when MJF was champion.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Wardlow has been winning matches for the Undisputed Kingdom. He has been putting in the legitimate aspect of it. So Adam Cole teasing a turn on Wardlow makes zero sense. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right.
And that's why it's a negative, because I hate it when... Now, if Wardlow was losing a bunch of matches and Adam Cole was doing that, he has every right to be pissed off at him. But not when Wardlow's been winning matches. What if he wins a title? What if he brings a TNT champion in? Cool.
Okay. We talked about this again. But...
Yep. Chris Jericho beating Hook. I thought he was wanting to help Hook instead of beating him. Also, the match was not that good either, because Jericho can A, barely move, Hook is green as grass, and he needs to go to a place where they will actually train him
like
well.
NXT?
Yeah.
Wow, what a concept.
And once again, random six-man tag.
Yep.
Let's have three champions. There were three champions that were in this match that were not defending the titles for no reason.
Yeah. But they were all singles champions.
Yeah. And now, Adam Copeland, they actually announced this earlier, Adam Copeland is defending the TNT champion against a member of the House of Black. Don't you think it probably would have been a little bit smarter to do this six-man tag on a regular Dynamite and then have Adam Copeland face Malakai Black, who clearly is the leader of the House of Black for the TNT champion?
Right. Logic doesn't get them everywhere. There are a couple of gems, but otherwise, pretty shitty.
Yep. This was a mess.
Yeah.
It was fine.
It was pretty forgettable. Like, both women's matches were pretty forgettable.
Yeah, this felt horrible. I feel bad for Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
She never lost this title. This should have been booked better. Then she loses, and now it's going to be Serena Deeb and Timeless Toni Storm, which is fine. I think that'll be fine, but this is just a total throwaway match, and both of these women deserve better than that.
Yeah.
I don't know why this isn't. Oh, that's why. Because of the claim of the North American champion match, this being the best one. It's patently absurd. Because here's the thing. Not only is it patently absurd, but also, don't you realize that calling something the best of something is objective?
Yes.
So guess what? This cannot be right. Literally.
Right.
Like, literally, it cannot be right. Right. Because that is...
That's a subjective claim.
Yeah. It's not across the board.
Right.
I like the match. And I'm not going to sit here and say, because my taste in wrestling, which is the right taste in wrestling, and Dave Meltzer's taste in wrestling, which is pay me money...
Which is subjectively the wrong way...
Right, exactly.
...of being a journalist.
Yeah, he is not a journalist. I'm sorry. This is not a journalistic point of view. It, by patently, cannot be.
Right.
Now, if he reported that people were saying that it was the greatest match, it still would have been wrong, but at least he's reporting it in an objective way, but yet he perpetually makes himself...
I don't think he ever says that these are subjective. I think that all of his opinions are just that. They're just opinions. It's his opinion that it is the best match in North America.
It is the wrong opinion,
but that's also
the subjective answer.
Right. But anyways...
But that was it for the good and bad. Overall, for Dynasty, it was better than I expected.
Oh, yeah.
The undercard was the shining star.
Yeah.
I liked Swerve and Joe, but it wasn't the best match on the show. I believe, for me, it was either this match or the Roderick Strong-Kyle O'Reilly match.
Right.
Those two were very good matches.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Tony and his neck brace.
Yes. Well, it's not necessarily Tony in the neck brace.
That is CM Punk.
Yes, it's the back and forth that we have seen, because
yes,
both AEW and WWE have been hyper-aggressive as it relates to the back and forth.
And this is a very recent phenomenon.
Now,
like, we have not seen
not this level, but
right,
every time that AEW has tried to rebut anything that has been said about them,
mm-hmm,
they fall on their face, pour gasoline all over themselves, and manage to set themselves on fire.
Because AEW is being very reactive right now. They are reacting to everything that the WWE is saying.
And it makes them look bad. So this was really the starting point.
Yes.
Was CM Punk talking about the all-in fight between him and Jack Perry.
Mm-hmm.
He relays the information given, and at this point, we saw no footage.
Right.
But
this was before the footage.
Now, let's get into the footage.
Right.
Where, I think Ariel Helwani posted it. Now, I could have pulled up the footage with the audio, but the AEW has been on a takedown spree.
Yes.
For all content that is embarrassing them. So, in the in the sense of us not wanting to be taken down by AEW, I decided to neglect that.
Right.
Where they showed the footage. And every single point that CM Punk said about the footage was 100% correct.
Yes, even down to the sequence and the seconds that it took. Like, you could, there are videos of his speech overlaid with that all-in footage.
Exactly. Where Tony Khan said that CM Punk grabbed Tony Khan. That did not happen. We did not see it. It did not happen. It was patently obvious,
right,
that it couldn't have been done. Now the one thing that I will say is that CM Punk put hands on first.
Yes.
That was wrong. Now, he didn't punch Jack Perry.
He pushed him.
He pushed him. He put him in a headlock. They were separated, just like CM Punk said. He yells at Tony,
yep,
who was at Gorilla, and walks away.
Yes.
That's what happened. So He was correct there. Now, this was horribly embarrassing. The backlash was beyond approach, not just as fans were reacting to it, but also backstage. There were a lot of people who were vocalized their absolute displeasure on doing this because they knew that Punk was right.
Yeah.
Even the Young Bucks said that they did not want to do this. They wanted to move on.
Mm-hmm. And but now they're stuck. They're stuck now perpetually in the past.
Exactly. They have screwed themselves. Now we're going to be getting into some quotes.
Yes.
Now, this was the quote that Triple H made about the grind. Now, in the lack of, I'm not going to read it. You can read it. You know, the people who listen to it, you can look it up. I'll leave links to where I found all of these in the description so you can read them for yourselves. But Triple H basically said that at this particular age, which was around Will Ospreay's age, you should not be afraid of the grind, where you're paid a lot of money with a lighter schedule, which is true. Will Ospreay's being paid a lot more, and he's working a lot less. And he should not be afraid of the grind. Now, Will Ospreay.
And again, this was something that was not his decision. It came out later that he did not want to do this promo. It did.
What, Will Ospreay?
Yeah.
I thought Will Ospreay wanted to do the promo, but then because essentially he's like, oh, you're grinding on the boss's daughter. You don't know about grind. But the problem is that Will Ospreay legitimately said, I think I actually have the quote, where he said, I don't have it, where he said that he chose AEW because of the schedule. Triple H was right.
Yeah.
You chose AEW because of the schedule. Now, it's because he married somebody who has a son and he wanted to be the stepfather to him.
Right.
I'm not saying that his decision was wrong. His priorities changed. When you're in your 20s or your 30s and you don't have kids and you want to work, you shouldn't be afraid of the grind because you're working with WWE. Those are the big dogs.
Right.
But his reaction to what Triple H said was wrong.
Yes.
Because not only did you say the opposite, but then you came back and said, I don't want to address it anymore because of your backlash.
Right.
Well, this was such a bad thing on every level.
Oh, yeah.
You have discredited yourself as not only a hypocrite, but now you just want to sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
How about you fucking apologize?
Yeah.
Say, I didn't want to do this promo.
Which I think that is the case. I could be wrong, but I did think that he said that he didn't want to do it.
No, he says in this, I don't regret what I said. I am saying that now because once again, you take the entire situation into consideration. It pissed me off from to this day on. I won't go down that route. I don't need to. He wanted to do this promo.
Okay.
He wanted to do the promo because he got his panties in a bunch.
Because of something that Triple H said.
Yeah. And now, but the problem is that his reaction was so juvenile. It made him look out to be such a hypocrite. Now he's like, oh, I want to move on. I don't want to go down into their level. You already did that.
Right.
You already did that.
Right.
You should totally regret what you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
You made the company look bad.
Yeah, yes, you did.
Renee Paquette looked embarrassed and uncomfortable during that segment.
Yeah.
Tony Schiavone put his hands in his fucking... You can say whatever you want, Tony. You know that you were like, oh my God, I cannot believe they did that.
Right.
So don't even try to excuse yourself about saying anything different.
Right.
Because you saw that you saw that clip. And apparently he's been running around trying to take things down too. Oh. So that's why I'm like being a little hesitant about footage.
Right.
So this is the current quote. I probably should have turned these off. That really started off, that really put AEW in such a bad light. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is my fault. I forgot that this was a different perspective. So,
this is the infamous Pepsi war. Yeah, I guess you want to call it the Pepsi war.
This doesn't make any sense anyway. So we are like the Pepsi. This is Tony Khan talking to during the NFL draft.
Yes,
to ESPN.
Yep.
About the neck brace.
Yes.
He bitched and moaned about the neck brace, saying, "Oh, I got attacked," and he said, "We are like the Pepsi of pro wrestling. We're up against a real evil juggernaut. WWE is our competitor. WWE is our competitor. There. TNA is not a competitor to WWE. They're giving an alternative. You, Tony, have said that you want everybody to compare WWE to AEW.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means everything. That means on how...
You're no longer the alternative.
No.
You're now a competitor.
No longer. That's who we are facing. AEW, the Pepsi of pro wrestling. WWE is like the Harvey Weinstein.
Which makes no sense at all.
Of pro wrestling. I'm really proud what we do down there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, number one,
that is
Harvey
so-
Weinstein is not the name of a beverage brand. I think what you're referring to is Coca-Cola.
Number two.
Number two, Harvey Weinstein is a convicted felon. And WWE is not a person.
the fact that you had to bring up Harvey Weinstein to take a shot at WWE is
that's
beyond,
embarrassing.
It's beyond approach.
Yeah.
That is insulting to those victims because you are using their pain.
Yeah.
You're using a real, legitimate, live situation that has been proven in court to take a shot at your competitor. You have made your entire company so low grade.
Yeah.
By this quote.
Yeah.
This is something that you cannot come back from.
No, this is going to be in the annals of history because this is footage done by the NFL.
Now, the NFL commentators, they were shocked.
Yeah. Did you see their reactions?
Uh-huh. They tried to bring it back to the to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
I almost said the Panthers for some reason.
Because, you don't want to hurt that relationship with the WWE.
They
are part of, they are in now the same company with UFC. And from my understanding, UFC has a pretty big contract with ESPN.
Yes.
just a little bit. Just a baby bit.
So I would not be surprised if there was a problem with TKO, Endeavor, and NFL.
And filing, essentially, they could, now he opens himself up for
this is
lawsuit.
Slander. Yeah, this is slander, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is one, because guess what? Mr. McMahon is going through the trial right now. It has not been proven.
But this is slander. You insulted an entire company.
It's like it cannot rape people. It cannot traffic people.
Right. That I think you're doing the wrong. You're drawing the wrong comparisons here.
Yeah. The backlash has been exactly what we expected.
Yeah.
Embarrassing to the point where even the most staunch of supporters of AEW were embarrassed.
Yeah.
Absolutely embarrassed, and you should be embarrassed. Here's the thing. I like AEW. I wish AEW was around. It gives people a place to work and not an alternative. But now you have tribalism has been thrown around a lot, but this is really the festering of
this
tribalism.
You have literally confirmed yourself as a tribalistic cult.
Yep,
exactly. That is what AEW is.
Yep. Now, I'm not sure if this was the backlash from this quote. I heard that they were very upset about this.
Yes.
But late breaking news as of today. Ooh. I saw this as of today. Less than a year after signing a multi-year deal with Televisia Universio, which is the international partner of AEW, on their VIX platform, AEW is not being updated anymore since March. Less than a year after it's been signed, no new content has been put out. Now, this is the streaming service that AEW is available in Mexico and Latin American countries and the Caribbean.
Hmm.
I put this into two parts because there was a lot of working parts and pieces here, because this is not the first major turn of AEW, because the same thing happened with AEW with ESPN when they were streaming in Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific Islands. Because there's a lack of presence. There's no indication on what happened. And also, with Sky and TNT, when they were doing this stuff in Germany and Africa, those deals are done. They're gone.
Well, this is certainly going to make things very interesting.
I mean, this is a big loss.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially with their media rights deal coming up for the United States. I mean,
where is that too?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Right.
People are touting, oh, they have this great working relationship. If they had this great working relationship, you would think that Tony Khan would love to say, oh my God, we got this big deal to continue to do shows in America. Why are they so radio silent about that?
Because there's no deal.
Exactly. Nobody has said anything.
Right.
There has been no official anything, because you know Warner Brothers Discovery would put out a news bulletin regarding a new deal signed with AEW
right
as soon as it happens. We have not yet seen that.
No.
And guess when this deal is up?
Sometime in the middle of summer, I think. So
guess what? It's almost May.
Right.
It's almost May. They have, what, less than 5 months
yeah
to announce something.
Right.
Because guess what? If they don't sign a new deal, there is no extension there. There is no, oh, we're trying to work it out. It is.
That's it.
That's right. So instead of trying to say, oh, WWE is the cult, WWE is the Harvey Weinstein, why don't you focus on your own fucking product?
Right.
681,000 people. I'm sorry. That's a 33% drop. And yet, all sports were done. But guess what? WWE, they had, I think, like a 12% drop at their lowest during these during the playoffs. 12. You had 33. That's not good.
No. So, at the end of the day,
what can AEW do to remotely come back from things like this?
They got to get rid of the master here.
They have to acknowledge that what they're saying is wrong. They need a PR person.
Yeah.
Tony Khan is not the PR person.
Yeah, he's not making things any more fun for himself.
Yep.
Or for his father.
I mean, yeah, what about Shahid? Shahid showed up on television. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's trusting his kid who's loved pro wrestling his entire life. He's trusting him to make sure that this company is successful.
It's not.
Yeah. They lost money last year. How do you think it's going this year?
Right.
So.
I don't know. Anyways, that's all we got.
Next week, what do we have?
I don't know.
I think there's a pay-per-view. I could be wrong. So, we'll figure that out. If you enjoyed this video, remember to like, follow, subscribe. We will come back with matches later. And as always, be
majestic.